Metu Netter Volume 5, Keys to Health and Longevity. Continuing in Chapter 2 on page 30. Who or what programmed the brains? Reptiles are able to successfully carry on their business of living due to the programs that are stored in their brain. The brain in reptiles is the storage container for programs that provide the guidance and drive for hunting, mating, homing, fighting, and territorial ownership. Reptiles carry out these behaviors successfully without undergoing any training, even from the moment of birth. Did reptiles program their own brains? The answer from science is a resounding no. It is nature that provided them with those instincts. If that is true, then nature is endowed with intelligence, consciousness, will, and is engaged in long-term planning and vision and so on. And it is true, just that scientists have chosen to use the word nature in place of God. Their reason for doing so is clearly understandable when one considers the mess that many religions have made of the knowledge of God. The same goes for the limbic system. It is programmed by God for the guidance of mammals and the progenitors of the Homo species. The cortex and frontal lobe in man weave a different story. They are not programmed with information for guiding man, but with a program that allows man to learn about life and the world and to write his or her own program into the cortex that will modify the programs in the lower two brains. This program will enable man, which is obvious, to liberate herself from the dictates of the two lower animal brains. We will come back to these themes of liberation and salvation later on. Suffice to say for now that there is a lot of talk about salvation and liberation that has gone nowhere for the lack of a framework that would allow the placement of the topics in the proper perspective. Now it is clear what we are seeking salvation and liberation from, and it is not man that initiated the process, and neither does he have the right, although he has the freedom of choice, to resist the drive to liberation from the old reptile to his brain and the limbic or mammalian brain. And why doesn't he have the right? It has been proven by scientists that the failure to control the emotions, manifestations of the limbic system, damages the higher brain centers. This is due to energy spikes, free radicals generated by negative emotions, fear, etc., and the lack of the use of the higher brain centers, the use it or lose it syndrome. It is as if man is punished for the failure to program the higher parts of the brain to control the lower. Unfortunately, the health damages are not limited to the higher brain centers. The interaction of the cortex and the lower brains. One brain at a time. Only one brain can be dominant at a time. Therefore, when we are caught up in an emotional mammalian brain manifestation, the higher brain, the cortex, is shut down. Logical thinking, planning, morality, creativity, and so on are suppressed. Our willed behavior is replaced by automatism. The programs in the animal brain, or what has been programmed into the cortex, play out involuntarily and automatically. If the dominant program is that of the limbic, then the behavior will be purely emotional. If the program in the cortex is associated to the emotion, a learned supplication to a divine being for help in the given situation, for example, it will play out with the emotion. At the moment, it will be a mere parroting of the idea, which can be temporarily good or bad. What must be clearly understood is that when the limbic system is aroused, emotional stress, the problem-solving voluntary control, and self-awareness functions of the cortex are suppressed. Stress then is not something to be managed, it must be transcended. Self-image, the brain, and emotions. It was earlier said that the true function of the cerebral cortex was to serve as the faculty for recording the idea that define and shape man's life. It is also the means through which the behavior programs in the two lower brains, the mammalian and reptilian, are modified. The low level of development of the cerebral cortex in mammals does not permit them to modify their brains. When an animal is confronted with a threat, the response from the program in the limbic brain aims totally at the survival of the animal and the species. This program is not involved with any other kind of threats. On the other hand, the cortex in man has modified or influenced the limbic brain in such a manner that it also reacts to the host of ideas that make up the person's self-image and interests in life. A car horn blasts and the limbic brain acts without your volition to move you out of the way as the car whizzes by, missing you by an inch. Next, you notice that your heart is pounding, your breath is heavy, and you are hot all over. This is, of course, part of the psychological response that enabled your body to whisk itself out of the way of harm. So far, your experience is no more different than what your dog would have experienced under the same circumstances. At this point, you and your dog Fido would go into two separate directions. As the car goes down the avenue, so will its heart and breathing rates go down, along with the body temperature. With you, however, the cerebral cortex will then unload its program concerning such a reckless driver's right to be on the road, which will not only keep your body in hyperdrive, it might even raise it a notch. Now we have emotion, anger. The activity of the limbic brain is no longer involved in your survival. And as the cortex continues, it delivers its message concerning the fate of your family. Had you been killed, your knees begin to tremble and go weak, and you might get a pain in the abdomen and break out into a cold sweat. Anger has been given way to fear. Not only does this have nothing to do with survival, in fact, it is against survival. Unfortunately, people who have not placed the proper program into their cortex, this scenario repeats itself many times every day. The limbic system's original function has been hijacked by dysfunctional programs in the cortex. The worst offenders are ideas that make up the human self-image, the ego. If it includes the conviction that you are a sensitive person, then just about anything said about you would be viewed as a threat and will send the limbic into hyperdrive. If you are convinced that it is natural to worry and you are a worrier, then you will keep your limbic brain in hyperdrive almost all day long, every day, for many months as you struggle perpetually to make ends meet. It is important to redefine the word stress. When we use the word as a cause of illness, it cannot be applied to the psychological reactions that animals experience when threatened. Once the zebra outruns the lion, it does not go on to become sick, even if the scenario repeats itself several times a day. Neither does the lion make its limbic brain go crazy with anger and self-vituperation as a result of thoughts from its cortex of how much of a klutz he is, and images of how mama lioness would look down at him with disappointment when he goes home. Psychologists have recognized this problem and created the phrases good stress and bad stress. While the phrases work somewhat, they fail to distinguish between the triggers of the stress reaction, man's self-image, values, and interest. The brain and the human self-image. Reflection on the information given so far in this book will reveal that the majority of people in the world have not placed the proper program into their cerebral cortex. This is why health disorders and social ills are so rampant in the world. The reason for this state of affairs can only be understood by referring to the framework of man's being that the brain presents. The reptilian and the limbic brains are much older, evolutionary speaking, than the cerebral cortex and the frontal lobe, and therefore dominate for the first time being man's thinking and behavior. This is why many people look towards their emotions to validate their beliefs and actions. Even democratic governments are highly ruled by people voting their feelings. The ego of the majority of people in a mental construct that takes the instructions of the two lower brains as its foundation. This is the human ego or human being. It has placed the cortex in service to an animal brain. As it is a reversal of the order of things, it must lead to disaster. This is what the history of the world reveals. The disaster has been portrayed by Ezekiel's vision, in which he saw a man, an eagle, a lion, and a bull. Even though the four figures reference signs of the zodiac, the meaning points to the disastrous future that awaits mankind if the cerebral cortex and frontal lobe failed to gain control over the animals in his brain. Incidentally, that serpent in the garden, or Apep, that is the first cause of man's sinful behavior is nothing less than the reptilian brain that influences the more primitive amongst us to pursue their self-interest, unaffected by the harm they cause others in doing so. Yes, we are all born with this origin of sin and another, and our salvation is in replacing the animal-based human image of self with an image that takes the divine as its yardstick. To summarize, a few of the brains taken as a whole reveals that they represent stages in man's growth. They are a chapter in the book of nature that teaches a very important lesson concerning mankind's destiny. Clearly, the majority of the people in the world are not finished goods. They have not attained to their evolutionary goal. Perfection simply means completion. Here ends the reading of chapter 2 on page 36.